Good afternoon again, everyone. This is Ross Foreman, Head of Media Relations for Global Force Wrestling. I'd like to welcome everybody to today's media teleconference. We have reporters and writers joining us from around the world, so let's get started. First, I'd like to welcome the founder of GFW, who is now the Chief Creative Officer. Of course, he's the King of the Mountain, a former World Heavyweight Champion, and the number one Nashville Predators fan. Jeff Jarrett, welcome to the teleconference.
Well, thank you, Ross. I do appreciate everybody joining us today. And, you know, since we talked last week at the end of Slammiversary week, we were excited about this call today and looking forward to the teleconferences happening quite often. Things got kicked off in a little, I guess, a rather bizarre way with Big Papa Pump a couple of weeks ago, but we look forward to engaging our fans, you know, via of all the journalists that are on this call today, and I do appreciate everybody joining us today.
All right. Well, I would now like to welcome a very special person who all of us at GFW had the honor to meet last week at the Impact Zone. Tony Marrero is an Orlando, Florida resident who is a special guest for GFW's Remembering Pulse nightclub 1 year later, a tribute to the 49 victims and the survivors of the Pulse nightclub tragedy back on June 12th, 2016. Tony was shot four times in the back and once in the arm. Hopefully everybody at this time has had the chance or will have the chance to watch the 10-minute tribute that GFW did, and I can speak on behalf of everybody with the company. We are very proud of the tribute and definitely honored to welcome Tony to this teleconference. Tony, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for having me.
Tony will be joining us for the first 10 minutes of this call, so when I do open it up for questions, I ask that any questions for Tony and or Jeff strictly at this time be focused on the Remembering Pulse nightclub 1 year later tribute. So, Tony, Jeff, I'm going to leave the floor to you guys.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. And before we get things going, Ross, I know you wanted to make the statement that is the obvious, the latest breaking news as it concerns Alberto. So I'll let you lead with that, and then I'll just have a quick comment after that as well.
Sure. As everybody might be aware, GFW issued a statement this morning regarding Alberto El Patron. I'll repeat that statement right now. Global Force Wrestling has indefinitely suspended Alberto El Patron, effective immediately, until the investigation is resolved following a recent incident in Orlando, Florida. That is the only statement GFW will be making on this matter at this point, and we ask for this teleconference that there be no questions on this matter. We have issued a statement, and we are moving forward, waiting for the investigation to complete. So, Jeff, if I can ask you your thoughts on the Pulse nightclub Remembrance Night.
Sure. Well, but before we get to that, and I do, you know, obviously the attorneys would rather I not say anything, but I do just want to comment briefly on the Alberto situation. Obviously, it's very unfortunate. Over the last 24 to 36 hours, Global Force Wrestling officials, as well as Anthem and you know, a host of others that are a part of our team, both inside and outside, we are digging into this matter and continuing to dig into this matter. Concurrently, you know, I have generated some of these conversations, and some people have reached out to me. I call them my mentors, so to speak, in the corporate world that are the CEOs like of the world, and then some professional sports, NHL, NFL, player personnel, coaches, both on the pro and the college level. And I just wanted to pick their brain and advice on how to best handle this situation. And really the takeaway from both of it, and I'll sort of leave it at this, is that, you know, the two takeaways that I got from the combined conversations are, at the end of the day, it truly is on a case-by-case basis when you're dealing with athletes and entertainers. And that type of public figures and that type of situation, as well as there's never an absolutely correct decision to make, a right decision, and there's always not an absolutely wrong decision to make. But just as I left the staff meeting a few minutes ago with our weekly staff meetings here at Global Force, you know, I addressed everyone in the room and said, you know, I will take as much responsibility of this as people want to put on my shoulders. You know, I've been blessed to be put in this position, and I truly want to make the best decision, not only for everyone in administration and production and talent, all of our production folks that, you know, when you group that entire group, it's well over 200 people that depend on, quote unquote, a paycheck from this organization. And then at the end of the day, again, I've been around the business for over 70 years. At the end of the day, the wrestling fans are the ones that are first and foremost. So, it's part of my responsibility as well to look after that. So it's an unfortunate situation. We take matters, any legal matter, but we also take personal matters. And obviously the
recording
legal matter
started.
It's obviously a legal matter as well as a personal matter. And so we take it very seriously. And you know, I've probably spoken a little bit more than I should, but I just wanted to make sure that I was as transparent as I possibly could with everyone on the call. And again, we'll move on from that and move on to as I stated earlier, last week when the PR team and myself sat down and the teleconferences were going to be laid out, we're very excited about it, very, very pleased with the week of Slammiversary and everything that led up to it. But, you know, a week ago this past Monday, our Pulse nightclub tribute was very, very emotional from everyone in the arena as well as backstage, and then the follow-up with the Facebook post. And I just got to thank my wife, Karen, and Tony have become big buds through this wonderful situation that we came together and making the best of a very horrific tragedy. So with that being said, Tony's a great guy, and me and him are open for questions to kick this teleconference off.
Tony, before we get to questions, if I can ask you your thoughts as you reflect back on the tribute a week ago.
Of course. First of all, I want to thank the entire production for it was a beautiful way to honor the victims, survivors, and everybody affected by this horrible tragedy that happened a year ago. It was a very emotional night for everybody, not just me, but everybody that was involved. It was a very emotional thing to see, as well as beautiful. And like I said, I want to thank everybody that was involved in doing this, you know, tribute to everybody that was affected by it.
Thank you, Tony. At this point, I am going to open it up for questions for Tony and or Jeff about the Pulse nightclub tribute. If you have questions, you hit *6, and we will get to some of those questions right away. We're going to keep Tony on the phone here for about 10 minutes now. Tony, you want to talk about meeting with Karen? You had a fun meeting in the back. You want to talk about that?
Time that I just had to go back. So I kept going for other, you know, two other tapings because we felt, me and the people that I brought, we felt so welcomed by everybody there. It was such a good place to be at. And Karen was just so wonderful to me. And I'm looking forward to just, you know, keep seeing you guys. And I know it's going to happen. You know, every time you guys are in town, Roz is obviously going to hit me up. And we are going to get together because you guys are amazing. Everything you guys do and what you did for us, for Orlando as a whole, is just something that I'm always going to keep dear, you know, next to my heart.
We are opening it up for questions now. Ryan, did you have a question?
Hello. My question is for Tony. This is Raj Gary with WrestlingInc.com. I know there were plans for converting the Pulse nightclub into a memorial in honor of the victims. So what's the status on that, and is that still happening?
As far as I am concerned, it is still in the talks. They have the One Pulse Foundation, and they've been working on it. But as far as I know, there's nothing just completely concrete. It is going to be a memorial, as far as I know. But that's all the information that I have so far, that they're still talking about it.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Ryan Bowman from thegorillaposition.com. I kind of want to ask Jeff and everybody, really, as everything happened, Orlando's kind of home for everybody and the taping. What was that like, and how did it shake everybody up with the company?
Rod, I want to make sure I understand your question. Are you asking last Monday night or when the incident, which...
I meant when the nightclub shooting incident occurred, I'm sure with everybody pretty much working and being around Orlando and knowing everyone in the community, how did it affect everybody in the company? How were they shook up by it?
Well, and I'll go first on this, Tony, if you don't mind. Ironically, and I wasn't with the organization last year when it happened. I can tell you exactly where I was, though. I was in New Jersey. I just got done with the GFW show, and it was early in the morning, and I woke up before I went did my cardio, and I turned on the TV. Karen was still asleep, and then, you know, like probably millions of Americans, we were glued to the television show on that morning. And then our wonderful friend Joe Park shared a story with me last week that the production crew was actually in Orlando, and when they got off the Joe Abyss went downstairs and got off the elevator, and there were armed guards with machine guns, and it was sort of a police a mobile headquarter. So it was, at that time, so early in the morning, it was really, really just a horrific situation that people, it was so early in the tragedy that people didn't really know what was going on. So I know that it permeated throughout the talent and the production folks that it was just a really, really surreal day of just what was going on.
Hi, Jeff Jarrett. This is Alan Wojcik from Outside Interference Wrestling Radio. How are we doing today?
Great.
I hate asking this question, but I have to ask it. The Alberto El Patron situation, a year or two ago, TNA ran into an issue where Shawn Hernandez was under contract to Lucha Underground, and he had to get edited out of TV, including the entire Beatdown Clan angle. What's TNA Unpacked GFW going to do? Is he going to get edited out of all of the TV going forward, or what's the plan?
Ellen, we're going to, Jeff, if I can chime in here, we're going to take a couple more questions for Jeff and Tony about the Pulse Club nightclub situation that we had a tribute. We're going to do those at this point while we still have Tony for another minute or two on the phone.
Hello.
Go ahead with your call. Question?
Yes. Hi, this is Riju from Sportskeeda. In India, I had a question for Jeff. Hey, Jeff, congratulations on a fantastic Slammiversary 15. My favorite match was JB and Scott Steiner versus Josh Matthews and Joseph Park. Now, that incorporates elements from the Violent Deletion skit. Will that be something you do going forward as well?
Ross, we may want to go ahead and progress, unless there's any other calls and questions regarding the Pulse Nightclub tribute.
Perfect. We're going to have one more here. I think this one.
Hello, Tony. It's Lee Hazel from Steel Chair Magazine. I was just wondering if you yourself had any history with professional wrestling prior to the incident, and if you have any memories of it yourself.
I'm so sorry. Can you run by one more time?
I was just wondering, how did your involvement with the professional wrestling industry in this matter come about?
How am I involved with the wrestling?
How did you get involved with Impact Wrestling and Jeff in particular?
Oh, I got involved. Throughout another one of the survivors, and they ran it by me, and they asked me if I wanted to be part of a tribute that was going to be part of Impact Wrestling, and automatically I said yes.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Tony.
Tony, I know you got to head back over to Universal Studios, so we're going to let you go there, and we're going to, at this point, open the questions up for anything along the Lions for Jeff. We have a lot of things going on in GFW these days, from post-Slammiversary and the merger. So feel free with your questions. If you want to ask them, all we ask is when you do ask a question, you identify yourself and your outlet. Tony, if you're here, again, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll move on to some questions for Jeff.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. See you, Ross.
Tony, I wanted to thank you publicly. Appreciate it, Tony. Have a great day.
Of course. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Ross, as we move along, I didn't quite get the Sports Kita specific question from India, but I'll go back to Alan, his question. And, again, I wasn't with TNA Entertainment / Impact Ventures at the time that the Hernandez situation, but from my understanding, that was a completely an IP, intellectual property situation, in that he was signed, or there was a legal situation where he could not appear on camera, to the best of my knowledge. In this matter, it's a completely different situation, in that, again, decisions are made, what's best for the league, what's best for the brand, what's best for everyone involved. And yes, we just came off the heels of four fantastic days of production. And so at this time, those production days, it's no secret in this business that the incident took place after the production the live production was done. So it collectively, it would further damage the brand to edit all of this out. And quite frankly, it would do further damage to the brand. So, again, the decisions are made at the very best we can to continue to grow the brand. We've made tremendous strides since Anthem, took control of the asset in January. And as we've moved along over the last 6 months and coming off the heels of Slammiversary and the early numbers that are in, it's very apparent that the success we're taking steps in the right direction. And from the very beginning of TNA in 2002, that was always what led to our successes over the years, or crawl, walk, run. You know, just not rush into things. So if we can get the Sports Kita question back at some point during the call. But other than that, let's move on.
Hey, Jeff. Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com here. I want to ask what the process was of turning Impact into Global Force so soon after TNA was turned into Impact. And, what was Ed Nordholm's reaction to that? What were his feelings about that in particular?
Obviously, it was a collective decision. Very early in our relationship, dating back till mid-December, it was very clear that the TNA name was going away with no uncertainty long before I came on board. And so as the days, weeks turned into months, the process began, that it was very apparent that the name of the brand, name of the league, name of the promotion, you know, WWE is to Raw what Global Force is to Impact, that the name TNA was going away. From day one, the name of the television show was always Impact. And so it was a collective decision with multiple executives that were on board here that obviously wasn't a singular decision by any stretch of the imagination. Len Asper at Nordholm, production elements, it was a collective how we were going to transition in. And we're well aware that it is going to be a step-by-step process. The name or the initials TNA have much more equity internationally, specifically in India, that the double entendre doesn't exist. The United States press, as opposed to the India press and other markets around the world, the name TNA in the initials in the league, the PR hits that quite frankly were massive over the last 24 months. So it will be a delicate balance, but it's something that we charted our course, and we realize that it's going to be a step-by-step process. We had a meeting yesterday that as far as our digital front, GlobalForceWrestling.com, ImpactWrestling.com, You're going to see that begin to roll out over the next 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 weeks. As we launch our OTT, that's coming in play. Obviously, all the social media channels with GFW and all the social media channels with Impact. There's going to be a progression, and we do have a plan in place. But at the end of the day, we understand that, you know, the viewers, specifically television viewers as opposed to online viewers, that, you know, if they tune in, and we realize no matter what show it is, you don't watch it every week. You know, you watch it 3 out of 4 weeks out of a month or 2 out of 4 weeks, that we want it to be a natural transition, a progression. And at the end of the day, we will get there sooner rather than later, but it's going to be a transition.
Hey, Jeff, this is Tommy McArdle from ringscoops.com. How are you doing today?
Good. How you doing, sir?
Doing pretty good. Thank you for asking. My question is, are there any plans for GFW to come out to the West Coast or to make a return to Las Vegas for any tapings?
The short answer is absolutely yes. The timing is something that right now we have staff in Ontario that are doing, you know, some site surveys. It's no secret that we're coming out to Staten Island, Long Island, and Bridgeport. We're going to be making further announcements about. We're going to be making announcements about our AAA relationship and the talent exchange, and we hope very soon that we're going to be making announcements about AAA joining us on our New York trip for our live events. Obviously, like I said, we're looking at Ontario for September. We're probably going to look at another Northeast run fourth quarter of this year. And then as we head into January, discussions have already begun about looking in first quarter, going back to our traditional first quarter of United Kingdom tour. But to say Vegas is on our radar without question, it is a fantastic, you know, just like Orlando, it's one of the entertainment capitals. It's a destination city. And then West Coast, it goes without saying, all the wrestling fans from Northern California all the way to Tijuana. So timing is obviously the biggest factor. But, yes, we're looking at a West Coast swing.
Hi, Jeff. David Dunn with the New Zealand Pro Wrestling Informer. I want to ask about the working agreements you've got with some of the promotions around the world. The original iteration of GFW set up several, in principle, agreements with a number of independent groups, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, United Kingdom, etc. What is the status of those relationships with regard to the current form of GFW?
Well, it's very obvious that there's been a major turnover in talent, in that, you know, the world in which we live in this wonderful world of professional wrestling is much more transparent, and that everybody has a start, whether it's in the smallest of independents or whether it's a major independent. But, you know, there's great operations literally around the world. The UK scene goes without saying. Australia, there's been several independent tours as of late. I've been contacted by friends in New Zealand as well. We are going to recognize, no matter where the talent comes from, Desmond Xavier, who is a star and completely on the rise with a rocket ship on his back. You know, there's a story behind every individual wrestler that comes on our roster. They most of the time have somewhat of a home base or a home promotion, and we're going to continue to recognize that. And so there's promotions around the world. That as we continue to roll in third and fourth quarter of this year, more independent promotions, will be recognized. Monster Factory, their tag team champs, obviously came on board back in March. But, you know, Russell Pro's an independent organization we work with in the Northeast. MCW based out of Baltimore. So there is so many promotions out there that are thriving and doing well. And independent wrestling, as opposed to, you know, when I broke in, I'm an old man, but back in the 80s, the territories, exchange of talent, now the independent scene is truly the lifeblood of our industry.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Hello, this is Big Ray from OneWrestling.com, OneWrestling Video. How are you, Mr. Jarrett?
You have got a radio voice, Big Ray. Looking forward
awesome.
To chatting with you.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Mr. Foreman, for setting this up. First and foremost, Bill Apter wanted to say hello.
Wet Willie. Wild Willie. Tell him I said
yes,
hello.
Sir. Well, I do have two questions, if I may, sir.
Shoot. I'm ready.
All right. The first being, we were just curious as to whether you were going to continue the lineage of the X Division title and continue moving forward with the Grand Championship, or are you going to basically eliminate those titles and proceed with the next-gen title and maybe move into using perhaps a television title?
You know, obviously in the world and you know, whether it's WWE or back in the day, WCW or back in the territory days, six-man titles, tag titles, it's always a work in progress, but the plans going forward are, you know, the global championship. And we looked at things and we have unique plans later on the year for the next-gen championship. But the four divisions as we head into Destination X are the X division, the knockouts division, the tag team division, and the global championship. And the Impact Grand Championship is still exactly what it was prior to Anthem coming on board.
Very good. Now, my second question is very straightforward. There are other companies that pin themselves to be more of a PG product. Now, will GFW be pushing, let's just say, pushing the edge and giving us more of a realistic base of sports entertainment and pro wrestling, Mr. Jarrett?
Well, you know, obviously being a part of the Attitude Era, pushing the edge it can mean multiple things, some positive, some negative. But a global force, it is exactly something that I've been a part of and seen throughout the years. The most productive storylines, if you want to call them storylines, are always reality-based, whether it's Stone Cold versus Vince McMahon, whether it's the NWO that connotated the WWF and was, you know, the situation was litigated, the WWF invading WCW, going back way to my early years, Lawler and Dundee, a huge rivalry that existed for years based on their true personal hatred of one another. So quite frankly, when you say push the edge, not in a negative or language or smut, if you will, but we will and will always continue, reality-based, situations have always been the most successful in professional wrestling, and so if you want to say that's pushing the reality-based component, the answer to your question would be yes. But we're certainly not going I'll go back to the word smut and the elements that at the time the Attitude Era, you know, obviously Shock TV and was super successful for its day and age. In 2017, as we roll into 2018, there really is no place from a, you know, completely wide appeal, all ages, it's not, you just can't focus on that male 25 to 34 demo. It's got to be a much, much broader to be successful.
If we could remind all reporters to ask only one question, since we have a lot of people waiting. Jeff, can I ask you, though, what's up with the titles? We have an announcement on titles upcoming in August.
You talking about the new belts?
Yes.
I was answering emails on that at about 6 o'clock this morning. So it's a work in progress, but we're excited for August the 17th for Destination X and the new titles.
Hi, Jeff. This is Raj Geary with WrestlingInc.com. I had a question regarding the Hall of Fame. It was and James Storm kind of promoting the Hall of Fame ahead of time, but saying he wasn't going to be in. I guess we can't do two-parters, but is there anything to James Storm not being at the Slammiversary, the post-Slammiversary Impact tapings?
Well, the post-Slammiversary Impact tapings, James had a head injury. He says it's not bad. I kind of think the doctors, although they, you know, but that's James, and James will always be James. the doctors have different opinions, but that had, I'm not sure, I know you're the two-parter, so even though we're all said want me to answer two-parters, on the topic of Hall of Fame, that was, you know, I guess you could say, as tradition went, that the Hall of Fame inductee was announced on Slammiversary. We collectively have a different philosophy, and we just wanted to announce on Slammiversary. Obviously, it's many months off. That on November 5th is the date for Bound for Glory, but on November 4th, we're going to have a fan fest, and we're going to have a Hall of Fame dinner. We are having those discussions and have been having those discussions. There's a very good potential that the first inductee of this class can be announced on August 17th. But stay tuned to our YouTube channel and our website. Further details will be coming. I'm super excited about that. There's a lot of different candidates moving forward, and I'm of the mindset that a Hall of Fame inductee should be certainly in the twilight of their career, and I don't put James Storm in the twilight of his career at this time.
Hi, Jeff. This is Nick Hausman with WrestleZone. Thank you for taking the time to chat.
Appreciate it, Nick. I saw you online that you solicited questions. So I know that Ross has disappointed you, so I guess you got to pick the best of the batch.
I'm trying my best. My question is about the kind of public spat that Anthem and the Hardys have been having over the Broken Universe. I just didn't know if you guys had found any conclusion with that, and it was a situation that you all had moved past.
It is the wonderful world of social media and the digital and just the open opinions. Quite frankly, it is the world we live in, and I welcome it because you got to take the good, the bad, the ugly, the different, the indifferent, and it's truly no different than the wrestling business that existed 30 years ago, except the platform was much smaller. You know, when we would leave the buildings back in the 80s and 90s, you would have fans that would be out back that would either scream at Double J that they loved him or hated him or didn't like his match or liked his match or tell me that this guy stunk or whatever it may be. But as far as this specific situation, I have, you know, giving my opinion on it. It's no secret, and I've said this in multiple interviews. Me and Jeff Hardy's friendship goes back well over 20 years. Our families have vacationed together. I've had a healthy exchange of texts with Jeff over the last couple of weeks. We wished each other Happy Father's Day. And so, the IP situation is strictly the IP language that is used in our contract is almost identical to the language used in the WWE contract, almost identical back in the day from WCW IP law. And I've been, whether fortunate or unfortunate, to grow up in Nashville, be around the music business. Intellectual property law is rather cut and dried, that you have the publisher and you have the writers, and then you have another element of that. You have the performance. You know, there's people in Nashville that can sing a song and take it to number one, and 10 years later, another artist can come along and they can sing that exact same song and take it to number one, and they make their money off performances. But the writers and the publishers continue to make that money. So it goes without saying, the wrestling business is different. You know, Vince McMahon owned the name The Rock until The Rock bought it back. Same with Razor, same with Diesel, and I could go on and on about guys jumping ship from, especially back in the Attitude area, when guys would jump ship from WWF to WCW. You know, Big Boss Man was never the Big Boss Man in WCW, but quite frankly, will ever be one Big Boss Man. And it goes without saying, Matt's performance, there's only one Broken Matt. He did that. It transcended the Hardy Boys or Matt Hardy, and that goes without saying. There's only one Brother Nero. It's funny, on vacation, but I told this story the other day, and a buddy of mine said, well, you ought to tell people that. Well, when there's two Jeffs in a vacation home, it can get confusing. So we started calling Nero, instead of, you know, Jeff Hardy. So anyway, hats off to those guys in the performance, but it goes to the ownership, and there's multiple writers, and there's writers that were part of the Broken Brilliance, that it's very obvious they're no longer with the company. Dave Lagana, Matt Conway, and Billy Corgan, to be exact. But, you know, Jeremy Borash in production and writing. And then you have, Jimmy Long and Matt and Jeff. So there was a group of writers without question. But ownership always lies with the publisher. And that's not new to this industry or intellectual property law.
Hi, Jeff. Raj Geary with WrestlingInc.com again. I guess I wanted to ask what the status of the GFW World title is right now. Is it considered vacant?
At this time, you're talking about Alberto's belt. I just want to be clear because there was a belt question about the global championship, but which is the world title, correct?
Right, correct. Yeah.
The decisions, obviously, I don't want to comment, but this is – again, I want to be as transparent because it's the world we live in, and I'm totally on board with this. I've got five kids, and communication is the key to any relationship, whether it's personal or business or whatever. So to communicate with you folks who are taking the time out of your day to jump on this call, it's an ongoing an investigation. Sounds so legal, but it goes a lot further than legal. So the ongoing investigation. So at this time, that situation has not been addressed as it directly relates to the belt because it's far from the most important, in my opinion.
Hi, Jeff. Donna Corby from the Irish Daily Mirror here. I'm just wondering, you talked about coming back to the UK. When exactly, I didn't hear you earlier, when exactly do you plan on returning to the UK? Because we know that Impact in the past have had such a huge following around here.
Nothing specific. Talks began before Slammiversary. I had another call this week. Obviously, the world of sport, the WOS situation, it's still all going. Everything's a work in progress. But traditionally, we've come in January, so I don't want to hold ourselves to January, but first quarter of 2018 is what we have preliminarily targeted.
Hey, Jeff, this is Tommy from ringscoops.com again. I got a question. Do you plan on doing any women's tournaments in the future?
The Super X Cup is something that you can say we brought back, but I kind of think this year's version is by far the best. When you have, Ishimori, you have Drago, you have such an international flair into it. And so it's something that we, brought to the forefront, new and improved. And a women's tournament, for a long time we didn't have any women's wrestling in at that time called TNA on Impact, just because we wanted the depth of the talent. And then obviously as we grew over the years in 2010, 2011, 2009, whatever year it was, that Gail and Kong main evented for the first time in modern day history, main evented a 2-hour television show. And so the short answer to the question is without question, because the depth of women's wrestling, quite frankly, has exploded over the last 36 months in a great way. So the shorter answer is yes. The timing, I that would have to be a collaborative effort from the matchmaking group.
Hi, Jeff. Raj Geary with WrestlingInc.com again. With GFW now doing live events again, Impact, I wanted to know, have you guys been looking at possibly moving pay-per-views out of the Impact Zone and
sure.
Starting with Bound for Glory?
Sure. I mean, without question, we'll call it in every sense of the word, a traditional touring organization is the goal, but it has to make financial sense. It goes without saying taking Impact on the road several years ago was a financial disaster. And so you have to methodically look at every decision and make sure that it makes financial sense. But we're going to start with our live events. And again, I'll say put our toe back in the water. We realize that we're not going to put an event on sale and it's going to go clean and sell out. quite frankly, the WWE doesn't do that for live events. But they're out there. They're touring. Obviously, it's an organization, publicly traded, been around 50-plus years. And so their brand awareness in every market they go, they don't have that situation. We're obviously in a rebranding situation in every sense of the word. And so we're getting back out in that market. We got to make the right decisions. And that's why we're excited to, you know, partner with NOAA, partner with AAA, get into these markets. Our LAX, our current tag champs, are going to be throwing out the pitch and doing the signing, the meet and greets over in Staten Island. We've got the Bridgeport baseball show. We got Long Island event. There's a lot of positive things happening, you know, from live events to our digital world. I'll brag on my digital guys when I just left that staff meeting, and they were telling me some numbers from Spike UK and how the female demos have exploded and how the kids demos have exploded. Our median age on our program in the U.S. is the lowest it's been. You know, we're trying to figure that out, but we think it's the median age is the lowest it's been since 2009, and that's, I just got to tell you, that's fantastic because, you know, everybody on this call is well aware of the business and you know, the WWE, you know, their quarterly calls and their reporting has educated everyone that, you know, to get sponsors, to get advertisers, you got to have that lower demographic. You got to be sponsor friendly. And so we're working on all of that. Our merchandise is headed in that direction. Our DVDs, our production, our YouTube numbers, we're going to reach 1 billion views shortly, which is great. We're going to reach 1 million subscribers. And so, you know, our digital stuff, and that's been reported. So we're rowing uphill. I mean, rowing in the same direction. Sometimes it's going to be uphill. Sometimes it's going to be downhill. But Raj, to go back to the answer to your question is, absolutely, we're looking at taking, and we're actually not just Bound for Glory, but we're also looking at, you know, adding another live pay-per-view to our schedule in 2018.
Hey, Jeff, Mike Babcock with TMZ Sports here. Forgive me if this has already been addressed. I hopped on here a little bit late. Have you been in contact with Alberto yet at this point?
Yeah, I mean, and I'll – yes, you are a little late. We hit it off the top, and we made the statement. I'm sure you've seen it on our site. If you have it, you can go to ImpactWrestling.com or GlobalForceWrestling.com.
I have,
see the statement. Yeah, and so, you know, that is our statement. I probably said a little more than I'm supposed to, but the short answer to your question is, without question, I have been in constant contact with not only him, but his representatives as well.
Hello, Jeff?
Yes.
Hello?
Yep.
Jeff, this is Gary Keaton. I'm Irish freelance, and I write for SW.com. Apologies if I'm a bit blocked, I have a cold. My question relates to production values and Ireland. First of all, your production values are better on your DVDs, in my opinion, humble opinion, than WWE's. So something to play to. Production values of King of the Mountain and the Jeff Hardy DVDs are more open and honest. My question relates to, when you come to the UK, will you be doing a tour of Ireland as well?
Absolutely. We obviously, you know, if you're an Ireland man, and one of your Irish brethren are making some news on this side of the pond with Connor and his press conferences this week. And I, quite frankly, thought he tore Florida up yesterday. Just as a side note, I loved his soundbite. Nobody does a presser better than Connor. But, yes, Dublin has been very, very successful for us over the years. I can remember as far back as 1994 having some shows in Belfast and Northern Ireland. So, but no, the short answer to your question is Ireland is obviously being looked at, and we've had success there. So I see no reason why we wouldn't make that a part of the tour.
Hi, this is Jeremy Walker with Real Sport. One of the issues that Impact Wrestling faced in the past was that they let their best talent out of the door. Just wondering what the new regime is doing to keep hold of their top guys this time around.
It goes without saying. It's a priority. You know, it goes without saying. That is a priority, and we are making very good progress on that specific question.
Ryan Ryder here for Main Event Radio. Hello, Jeff. I want to know if you can elaborate a little bit on the partnerships with AAA and Pro Wrestling NOAH. What will they entail, and if you're in talks with any other promotions?
The partnership with NOAH is obviously, Mr. Fuller, the president, was over here for the entire six-day run. Their next big show is October the 1st, and I believe, don't hold me to it, but I believe so, it's Yokohama. We are going to have talent that appear on that show, multiple talent, so we're excited about that. It's a great working relationship. Obviously, Marufuji was a part of our tapings last week, and he's a guy that I'll just say his credentials speak for themselves. Ishimori, in the Super X Cup, and then when you get to AAA, Triple Mania, their 25th year of celebration of being in business and Triple Mania this year. It's a mega event, 18,000, 19,000, 20,000, whatever that arena holds down there. There's going to be Global Force stars on that show as well. So both of our biggest talent exchanges, promotional relationships are, and we're looking at content, not just talent exchanges, but as we roll out, our OTT and the relationship we're having. So the relationships is, I don't want to say exactly because it's a step-by-step process, but they're certainly headed in the right direction. It's something that I always envisioned and knew that it wouldn't happen overnight, but it's something, you got to start somewhere in business. And look, there's no one in this world more impatient than me, but through the years, you've learned that, you have to start with A before you can ever get to Z in alphabet if you're going to go all the way through it. So it really is a step-by-step process. But we're very excited, and obviously there's independent promotions around the globe that we continue to look at. Matter of fact, I talked with a promoter from Pakistan this week. So wrestling is truly a global product.
Jeff, Gary Keaveney again from WrestleView and Freelance Ireland. Have you been in talk ever with CM Punk, or would you care to comment on CM Punk's status as a wrestler? Do you think he'll come back to wrestling and come back to any GFW, TNA, Impact?
No, CM Punk, to my knowledge, no conversations that I've certainly had. But also, I totally my understanding that, he's signed to a UFC situation, and that's where his energy's headed. Unbelievable talent, and I've said it when it first came out. Hats off to the guy to step into that octagon. Win, lose, or draw, he's a winner in my book for chasing his dream.
Hey, Jeff. Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com here. What type of relationship, if any, do you maintain with Spike TV stateside? I know they're rebranding at the end of the year, and I didn't know if you had kept in touch with anybody from that wing maybe over the past several years.
Can you broke up right at the beginning. Can you restate that, Sean?
No, actually, we were on the next call. Jeff, he was asking about the Spike TV relationship domestically.
Oh, obviously we're in a long-term relationship. It's no secret that they're rebranding the Spike Network here domestically, going to the Paramount Network, and you can see if you read the trade, the direction they're headed. They have an enormous investment in Bellator, but I'll just say this, I have a long-term relationship with those guys, and Viacom has multiple outlets, and so who knows what the future holds.
Hey, Jeff, this is Tommy from RigScoop.com again. My question is, are there any plans for a GFW video game in the future?
At the top of the list, when you look into the licensing, and again, you the licensing program going back many years ago, again, it is a methodical, it doesn't happen overnight process. The two biggest categories when you look at licensing are video game and action figures, and both categories, the steps have begun, although very baby steps and preliminary. But quite frankly, there's nothing more than I would love because, again, we're a global brand, and there's a lot of video gamers around the world. Action figures and video game are the top two categories in the licensing program that we're going to begin to develop?
Jeff's time is very limited, so if you have already asked a question, I ask that you take yourself out of the queue for a future question. We're going to try to get through as many as we can in the limited time Jeff has left.
Hi, Jeff. I'm sorry. This is Raj with WrestlingInc.com again. I'm not sure if you addressed this with your Hardys answer, but I just wanted to confirm. Did you say that the Hardys have not purchased the IP to the broken character and that gimmick from Global Force at this time?
No. No, they haven't.
Hi, Jeff. This is Nick Housman with WrestleZone again. I didn't know how to leave the queue, so I'm still here, and I'm still going to ask a question, if that's all right with you.
Shoot, Nick. I'll make it quick. You make it quick.
All right. All right. My question is about recently you guys had some producers leave GFW, Shane Helms, Al Snow, Simon Diamond. I was wondering if you had any new names in mind to come in as producers for the company.
No, quite frankly, and all three of those guys, their contracts ran to the very end. The decision not to renew had zero, and I want to overstate this, had zero to do with performance base. We went to India, and it was from a production, just because of economics, we had obviously a shell crew, but. Eight agents for a two-hour show is overkill. I wish nothing but Shane and Al and Pat nothing but the best. And as Al and Pat both told me, you never know where this business crosses again. Pat has been with us since back in the Asylum days. There's only a short period when he wasn't with the organization. But I want to thank them, all three of them publicly, for the contributions they made. But it was strictly a financial decision that, eight agents for a two-hour weekly product is overkill. And with that being said, no, there is no new producers in line. Very happy to have Gail Kim on board, working with the Hall of Famer, goes without saying, a pioneer of, or the pioneer, her and Kong, with the Knockouts division. But there is absolutely no plans for new producers down the road.
Hi, Jeff. I just wanted to, Donna Corby from the Irish Mirror again. I just wanted to ask, if you were looking at Dublin, would that be for those UK dates that you're looking at preliminary for January?
Yeah, again, I said this earlier. You can't hold me to it. The first quarter of 2018, we're looking at I'll call it even a European tour, because in the past we have had shows in France. Obviously, the German market, WXW is a partner of ours that we've worked with. A fantastic organization. There's an organization in Switzerland, Austria, obviously Ireland is on our, but just because we've been and had some great success in Dublin. So yeah, it is on the short list.
Hi, Jeff. It's Lee from Steel Chair Magazine. I was just wondering, with Destination X coming up soon, what are the plans for the X division, and any plans to bring back the Ultimate X match?
I'm sure the timing's everything, and the Ultimate X match I can remember several vivid memories, whether it's the Asylum or when AJ Styles was in the Ultimate X matches, just the level and it's true, the level of competition that went into those matches. Everyone knows it's not true sport. But the guys, when they have that platform to shine on, they go the extra mile. And so the X Division has been a cornerstone of a big time philosophy, that and Slammiversary showed, you have your heavyweights, you have your X Division, you have the Knockouts, you have the Tag Division. As you go into, as we came out of Slammiversary, it's no secret, Joe Park and Jeremy Borash, and Big Papa Pump and Josh Matthews, what a night, what a memorable match. It was off the charts entertaining. D'Angelo Williams and the success his training and how serious that he really dug in and the success of that match. So to answer your question is, you can't highlight everything all the time, but the X Division is going to be front and center, and it's going to have a big, big night coming up. Next guys on August 17th.
Hello, Jeff. This is Riju from Sports Kira Wrestling in India. I wanted to ask, how do you feel about Samoa Joe and, you know, AJ Styles at the top spot in WWE?
How do I feel? Well, first off, personally, I couldn't be happier for Joe, AJ, Bobby Roode, Eric Young, but those guys. Professionally, it kind of, in one sound bite, we were definitely promoting the right guys. They've gotten on a grander and a bigger stage, Samoa Joe, this past Sunday night. And Joe's always had that tenacity. I said that in the ESPN article. What really set Joe apart, in my opinion, from a promoter standpoint, is his tenacity. His real, when you drill it down and you look at his face, he's a tenacious individual. AJ Styles' athletic ability was truly phenomenal. Very happy for those guys. Everything that they get today, you know, AJ and Joe have both been in the business. AJ was with us 13 years. I wasn't here when he departed. Neither was with Joe. But those guys, they contributed immensely to the success of this organization.
Hey, I'm Tim from Germany here, GF to talk. I have a question. I had last week Bad Bones John Klinger in the interview, and he said he's really looking forward for working for you, Jeff. Your thoughts about Bad Bones John Klinger, and is there a chance to be on TV in Germany again?
I think that was a two-parter. I love Bad Bones. Great talent. He told me a funny story that I'll share, that he dressed up as Halloween one year as the Slapnut character, and his dad actually made him a guitar. So got a lot of respect for Bad Bones and his wrestling ability. In Germany, as you know, that's a very, very unique television market. It has been for years, dating back to the mid-90s when we went over there. And quite frankly, the U.S. Live event business was extremely down in the early 90s. And we would go to Germany. I think we were on RTL Sci and sold out 12 and 14,000 seat arenas. Bret Hart was on top every night. So German market is very unique, and there's nothing more than we'll call it the new regime, the new rebranding, and the reemergence that we would love to be on TV in Germany. And we are working on that to sum up the answer to the question.
We have time for about three more questions, and so if you have not chimed in for a question yet, please do not. We are wrapping it up right now, Jeff, for you.
Hi, this is Dan Ferrati with Boston Wrestling Sports. Appreciate a minute of your time, Jeff. Right now, you have a period of time in pro wrestling in the United States where you may have the least amount of fans ever watching the product. There's probably more wrestling fans that don't tune into wrestling of any kind than do. I was wondering if you thought maybe taking Impact to a more serious approach with less comedy, less skits, maybe a way to engage fans once again, where TNA has had so many phenomenal moments and great events over the past 15 years. And if you have any kind of a plan to try and bring back lapsed, not just lapsed TNA fans, but lapsed wrestling fans in general.
You know, obviously, and I'm not one who, by any stretch of the imagination, that likes to, quote-unquote, put my head in the sand. But when you look in totality of television ratings across the board, you know, live event sporting is the only thing that is consistently, and that's not, you know, baseball has, what is it, 182 games or whatever, 162 games and that. But you know, big marquee events, Super Bowl, playoffs, Stanley Cups, those kind of things, those are the only things that are consistently, I'll say, on the uptick. The world has changed. And so from our point of view, is that the international markets have obviously notched up in importance. You know, again, I'll go back to, I have five kids. My oldest is 20. You can say that she was, quote-unquote, a Disney Channel kid, that's what she consumed as far as her entertainment. My 10-year-old and Cody and my 13-year-old and Jared, they never watch Disney or Cartoon Network. It's YouTube. It's streaming services. And so you extrapolate that out to all demos. You know, Nielsen has come out with new ratings on you know, people meters and digital minutes consumed and watching in bars and restaurants different events. And so how we consume our entertainment is no longer destination television. Last night, and I've given it some time just because I've been so busy the last 30 days and 25 days ever since it's been out, I got to watch Glow for the first time and the first episode. And nowadays, okay, you know, look at it. I got to get up early in the morning. I'll watch one more episode. Oh, I'll just watch one more episode. The world has changed. And so the plan in broad strokes, and you have to tip your hat at Vince McMahon and the WWE Network, again, a visionary in our industry, is that the world of digital has exploded in importance in viewer engagement. So if you'll notice over the last however many days it is, since, you know, I'll say early March, Kevin Sullivan and all of our production with GFW, the amount of content that is churned out on a daily basis it has skyrocketed. Our views have quadrupled since January on YouTube. That's a big number. That is a really big number, but it's 3 and 5 minute consumptions. Our One Night Only series is going to be the Amped Anthology, and Chael Sonnen coming off a win with Bellator in the main event at Madison Square Garden. He's coming in next week to do some voiceover work, and Cyrus Fees is going to be our play-by-play on that, and he's a guy who travels the world doing MMA. He's in Russia. He's in Poland. He's in South Africa. He's all over the place. So, you know, broadening our strokes, so to speak, is one strategy that you cannot depend on your weekly episodic television show as the only way to engage your audience. It's much broader. It truly is 24/7, 365.
Hi, Jeff and Ross. Thanks for giving us some candid time today. This is Ben Doerr from IRW Network and the Impact Attack podcast. And I wanted to speak to the announcement that you had the other day of signing the Akbar as former GFW talent and the controversy that might create in today's PC climate and what you're looking forward to out of those guys.
The Akbars are a part of AMP Anthology, and those guys are going to be appearing on that. And when you look at Ali, who is going back to early in the press conference, Ali is U.S. born. He's a cadet from the U.S. Naval Academy. And just because he has the God-given name that was given to him and for people around the world that commit heinous crimes, he's stereographed. He is cast in a different light, and that's the world he lives in. Those are, you know, his partner as well. So, you know, yes, we live in a PC world, but that's as real as it can get. He is a U.S. Army cadet, graduated from there, family, very successful in Eastern Kentucky. And so, you know, that's the world we live in today.
Final question. We'll go to Ryan.
Hey, Jeff, you talked about getting back out on the road and doing the East Coast tour, but and you also talked about TV, but how important is it for you to get Impact live every Thursday night?
Again, it's the dollars and cents, and if anybody knows me, they know I was raised on live TV every 90 minutes in Memphis, Tennessee. Live TV is a different element. Everybody in the arena, every wrestler, every production person, announcers, it goes down to the ring crew. Everyone knows when you're live, your adrenaline is at another level. It's physiological. It's just the nature of the beast. So obviously that's our goal. Again, we're running a business, and you better have black ink as opposed to red ink, and that is at the front of our mind. So would I like to go live every week? Yeah. Is that a reality in 2017? No.
Jeff, we appreciate it very much. You've been very candid, very open. I'll give you the floor for a final thought.
I appreciate, you know, everybody on this call, and I mean that sincerely, that we had our fan interaction in Orlando at Slammiversary Week to kick things off. It was very successful. The pay-per-view, we couldn't have been happier. The production, as we rode along through the 4 days, as we headed into Destination America, again, we get to be live that night. It doesn't happen every week. We'll have a special program that night as well with Destination X and some great action. But I just appreciate all the support. Obviously, everyone on this call at some level is supporting us, and I do appreciate that. But as our rebranding and our rebooting and our transition, we're definitely not going to make all the right decisions. I know that going in. Again, my family's been around 70 years, so we are definitely going to make our mistakes. Guys can be a little forgiving at times, but from the top to the very bottom of this organization, it's not going to be for lack of effort. You can rest assured on that, and I cannot wait to see what the future holds for all of us.